Chapter 2, Romans chapter 2, we're going to talk about the goodness of God, the goodness of God. God is a good God. We say that a lot. He's good all the time, and all the time God is good. But here, we're very specific in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, and we'll see it here as we read it. It says in Romans 2, 4, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance?" God has been good to you. He has been forbearing and long-suffering. God has been patient, and God is patient. When we look at the world today and the things we're seeing on TV, particularly recently, we're like, why doesn't God just come and just, you know, take this thing out? But God is patient, long-suffering, because he has a plan, and he's sticking to the plan to reap the greatest harvest of souls ever. I believe we're in the last days, and we're coming to the close. We're coming to that day of harvest where Jesus Christ will come back, rapture his church, and it'll be the greatest number of souls that are going to be in the kingdom. We're in those days. We're the generation that is to tell the good news of Jesus Christ to make that huge harvest in these last days. That's our obligation as this generation. We are the ones that are going to have a part in reaping that harvest. That means we have something to do. We got to tell people the good news. We can tell them this is what God has done in our life. This is how he saved me. He delivered me from drugs or alcohol or sex or whatever your issues were. You can tell them the good news of God. Hallelujah. I want to have a part in that harvest, don't you? Praise God. Who are you reaching with the good news? But let's go back. The good news towards what? It says that it's the goodness, not knowing that the goodness of God does what? Leads thee to repentance. The goodness of God leads to repentance. Repentance means to go a different direction, to change your mind and say, I've been doing it all wrong. I am going to do it God's way. I'm going to follow God's will for my life and no longer do it my way. I want Jesus to be my Savior from hell indeed, but also the Lord of my life. Repentance means turning, getting off the throne and running your own life and saying, Jesus, sit on the throne of my life. I want to do things your way. I've made a mess of my life. I've destroyed my life. I've allowed the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life to come into my life again. I'm talking to even believers today. Maybe you've allowed the things of this world to come back into your life, to come back into your heart, to come back into your mind, your home. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life will destroy you. The world is a corrupting agent. Satan is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And he doesn't always do it with a big pitchfork. He is the dragon. He's the red dragon of Revelation, but he's also an angel of light. He does so with subtlety and cunning and deception. He'll make you think that sin is not that big of a deal. He'll make you dismiss your sin and say, oh, it wasn't that bad. It is bad. It's so bad that Jesus, God, had to come and die for your sin. Sin is a serious thing. But if you mix with the world, you think, well, it's not that big of a deal. I'm not sitting as bad as so-and-so. I'm not doing what they're doing on TV. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. No, sin will kill, steal, and destroy your relationship with God. You know, there's a doctrine called once saved, always saved. I want to tell you that's not true. It is possible for the Christian to fall away, what we call a backslidden state, and completely turn away from God, walk away from God, back into the world, and eventually be lost. I'm talking about those that would enter back into the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, enter back into the things of the world and dismiss sin. I've been there. I've done that. When I was a teenager, I did that. Got away from God. I'd grown up in church. Went to a Baptist church. Went to a Christian school. And But when I got to be a teenager, I was hanging out with some wrong people. And you know how it is. You just want to be accepted. You want to be liked. You don't want to be rejected by your friends. And so I started acting like them, talking like them, drinking like them, smoking like them, cussing like them, acting like them, going to parties. And my life was a wreck. I was destroying my life. The worst part was I knew God. You know, the Bible says it's better to have not known the truth than to know the truth and walk away from it. Because you know what you're doing and you're doing it anyway. The Bible says not to tempt God. And that's what I was doing. I'd walked away from God. I was tempting God. Because I was like, hey, I know Jesus died for me, but I want to have some fun. I want to be liked. I want to be accepted. And my life was a wreck. I was destroying my life. The devil had sown seeds in my life that I had to deal with for many years after that. One day I just broke down. I just got before God in tears and said, God, forgive me. I see this is the wrong way. I know better than this. I'm sorry I tempted you, God. Please forgive me. And his arms were open and received me back, washed away my sin like I had never done anything wrong. What a good and merciful God. It's the goodness of God that leads us back to repentance. You know, if we think, hey, I can sin and you know what? God's just going to forgive me, so let's just keep going. You don't know God. You don't know him. I dare say you might not even be born again. If you think it's okay, our God is a good God. He is a merciful God. The mercies of God are renewed every day. Thank God for that. But we can't tempt God. We can't tempt him. He loves you. He loves you so much that he died for you. That's a lot of love. Nobody else has probably died for you, I'm pretty sure. But God Almighty came and died for you because he loves you. But you have to come to him. You know, there's a story in Luke, the prodigal son story. I'm sure you've heard of it, where the son, he's the younger son, has an older brother, lived in a wonderful household. Life was great, but he says, I want to go do my own thing. I want to live by my will. I want to go have fun in the world. So he asked his father for his part. In other words, he wanted his side of the money. And he went to a foreign country. He went away from God. God didn't go away from him in the parable, you understand. God doesn't go away from you. You can go away from him. And he's just longing every day, waiting for you to come back. Just looking down the road, looking down the driveway, waiting. Is he going to come back today? Is he going to come back today? And we know the story. The son went away. He spent all his money. And he was trapped in this foreign country. Penniless. And he started working with hogs, getting filthy. He had no food. He had to eat the food of the hogs in a playpen of hogs, getting filthy, eating their food because he was starving. That doesn't wake you up. I don't know what will. We have to get hungry for God again. We have to get serious with God again. Some of us have lost our first love. We used to be hungry. We used to be on fire for God. I'm telling you, looking at the way things are in the world today, now we need to come back. We need to rededicate and recommit our lives back to Jesus Christ. It's time to stop playing games. It's very dangerous to play with sin. We don't know that we have tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. But God says in this day, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Will you call on the name of the Lord today and repent? Say, God, I've sinned. I've come short. I know it. I want to come back to you today. Hallelujah. The son, he was at that place. He was completely broken. He was done with his life. I know I've been there. And he says, I can go back to my father's house. And I know, you know, he may not love me. He knows what I've been doing. He'll reject me, but at least I get to eat. I could be a slave in his house. That's the word. He came back to just be a slave, just so he could survive. But the Father's been waiting every day, looking down the driveway, waiting for him to come back. Today, the Lord is looking for you to come back. Are you going to come back today? Are you going to come back to your first love and be on fire for Jesus Christ again? He's saying, come back to me. I love you. I'm longing to see you again. And the son does come back, walks down the driveway, and then the father just comes running. He comes running. He meets him where he's at because he's just waiting for that choice. See, he'll let you go as long as you want to go. You have free will. You can do as you will if you want to. God is a good God. He's given you the freedom to live however you want to. You can go live in the world, live in sin, and see the consequence of death. Hopefully you come to that realization that sin is death. Sin leads to death, eternal death. That's the seriousness of sin. Jesus took the full wrath of God on that cross for you. The full brunt of God's wrath for you. And there's also coming a day of wrath, the Bible talks about, and the end of days. Jesus is going to rapture his church off this planet, and then comes wrath. You don't want to be left behind. He's already paid the penalty. Come, come. Today is the day of salvation. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. Remember, your Heavenly Father loves you. He's a good God. The son comes back with his head down and his shoulder slumped. Just looking at his feet, he can't even look at his father. But his father grabs him, embraces him, says, I've been looking for you. I've been waiting for you. And his son says, just let me be a slave in your house just so I can eat. You don't even have to look at me anymore. He was so ashamed. But his father has been looking for him ever since he left, every single day, longing. The father loves you. The father said, let us celebrate. He who was lost has come back again. And the whole family rejoices, except for that one brother. But the whole family rejoices. Puts a robe on him, puts rings on him. Says, you've been restored to sonship again. You are now a son in the kingdom again. Hallelujah. We get what we don't deserve. That's mercy. That's one definition of mercy. We don't get what we deserve. We deserve an eternity separated from God in a horrible place. But God says, I love you. I want you to come home. But you have to make the choice. You have to say, yes, I come back now. He can't make you do it. The tragedy is so many will know the truth and say, you know, not now. Not right now. I'm having fun, or I'm being accepted. I'm being cool. I'm enjoying the pleasures of sin. I don't want to stop sleeping with my girlfriend or sleeping with my boyfriend. I don't want to stop. It's dangerous. I'm here to warn you today. There's a story I read of a professor in a secular college. Her name was Rosario Butterfield, and you can even look it up. It's an amazing story. I'm just going to read a little bit about her life. She, in her late 20s, she was allured by the philosophy of the LGBTQ+ movement, and she went into college and got a degree in queer studies or something weird like that. You know, and she read after Marx and Hegel and Freud, and became educated in the philosophies of this world, and she went on to get her degree, get a PhD in this mess, and then go on to teach other kids this mess as a professor. And she was dogmatic. She was one of these extreme cases who would go out and go to the streets and hold the placards up, and I mean, she was a true believer in this stuff. And of course, she thought Christianity was just mean-spirited and bigoted for not accepting and tolerating sin. So one day she wants to write an article, and she does. She writes an article against Christians and the movements that she's seeing the Christians, and you know how bigoted they are, and they're not, you know, they're anti-feminist and things like that. And so she writes an article, and the pastor, a pastor reads this article, and so the pastor, you know, instead of like blasting her, which we can be very tempted to do at times when we see the stuff going on in the world, he starts off with the goodness of God. And he reaches out to her and says, hey, I'd like to invite you to come and talk with me and my wife and I, and explain the gospel. And she's like, yeah, I want that because I want to get more ammunition. She read the Bible. She started reading Christian literature to try to get more ammunition against the things of God. I mean, I'm gonna put these people in their place, right? Just show how evil and bigoted and anti-feminist they are. And so she meets with the pastor, and to her surprise, instead of him, you know, condemning her and judging her, he starts with gentle love explaining the scriptures and answering her questions. And then they meet again, and they meet again. And then over a two-year period of time, she realized, you know, she says, my life was a train wreck. My life was a mess. She realized she was so deceived. She came to the end of herself. She was broken. And she came to the Lord. Got saved, gloriously saved. And now she goes around the world just telling people about her experience. She writes books talking about the truth about LGBTQ and all this kind of stuff. But she's transformed. She married a pastor, became a pastor's wife. She wrote a quote. It says this: I learned the first rule of repentance, that repentance requires greater intimacy with God than with our sin. Greater intimacy with God. Again, it's a choice. Who do you love? What do you love? God has made the choice to send his son for you. What choice will you make? This day, I have set before you life and death. The Bible says, choose life. Choose life. I love that. I love the wonderful scriptures. It says, when we come back to him, Hebrews 10, verse 17, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hallelujah. He will treat you like you've never sinned. That's an amazing thing. He says, your sins are thrown into the sea in one part of the Bible. And he will never remember them again. What does it mean to be thrown into the sea? That means they're at the bottom of the ocean. You'll never see them again. He'll never bring them up again. Because as far as he's concerned, they don't exist. They've been washed. Jesus took them on that cross. But it does require a repentance. You cannot dismiss it and say, well, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal. That is very dangerous, because if you're not repenting, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth, well, he says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. But what if you don't? What if you say, it's not a big deal? Then the next one, it's okay. And the next one, it's okay. It's not a big deal. You're waxing cold. You're growing colder and colder. I've been there. Don't do it. You're growing colder to the things of God. Embracing sin a little, just a little at a time. Just a little bite. The devil's getting just a little. I think of the attacks of the enemy, the attacks of sin and temptation, like you fall into a river. There's the Amazon River, and there's these little fish. They're not even really big. They're called piranha. And they just take little bites. Little bites, but they take so many that in a short amount of time, there is no meat left. It's down to the bone. And that's how it is when you fall back into the world. You fall back into the sin. It's just a little bite, little bite, little bite, little bite, until there's nothing left. God is calling for all of us to rededicate our lives back to Him. It is so important in this last hour. So important. We don't have much longer left on this planet. I don't believe so. Very short amount of time. So when God says He's going to have mercy on you, don't think that's an opportunity to take advantage of His mercy. Oh, He's going to forgive me, so I'm going to go ahead and do this. That's tempting God. That's back there in the Old Testament. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I know He's going to forgive me, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. That's very dangerous ground. You know the truth. You know God's mercy. Romans 8:2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." You know what? He wants to set you free. Maybe you've got so far into it that you don't even know how to get yourself out now. Addictions, habits, you can't break free. I want you to know, it says here that you can be set free. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus." Christ Jesus will set you free. You say, "Well, I don't know that He'll receive me." Yes, He will. The door is always open. If you come back, then He will set you free. He'll give you the power, the ability, the grace to get free of that lifestyle of sin or whatever you've gotten yourself into. He will set you free from the law of sin and death. Our sins will be forgiven and forgotten if we confess, the Bible says, 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just. That's a promise. He will never, ever be unfaithful to you. He will always forgive you and cleanse you completely if you genuinely repent from the heart. You know, we can say it with our mouth and not mean it. But I'm talking about from the heart, repentance, saying, "I come to You. Father, forgive me." He will forgive you and cleanse you, wash you in His blood. Glory to God. You know, there's people that say, "Hey, you know, even Christians, they're just like, hey, it's not that big of a deal. You can just ask for forgiveness." And they even twist scriptures and give reasons why it's okay to sin. And I've heard one terrible doctrine. "Well, you know, we're married to Jesus. Therefore, it doesn't matter that you go commit adultery, because, you know, your marriage doesn't matter, because we're married to Jesus, so we can commit." I mean, they just twist scriptures in such weird, horrible ways. If you want to sin, you could probably go find some preacher, some teacher out there that'll justify it and say, "Yeah, you're okay. And you can go sit under that and live under that and die under that." Or you can come back to the truth. Jesus said the truth will set you free. But you have to love the truth. You have to come back to the truth. You have to get out from under things like bad doctrine, bad teaching, and come back and say, "I really do love the Word of God. I really do love truth. I want to come back with all my heart." Now's the time, church. Now's the time. Now's the time. Not just for the backslider who's deep in the world, but for every one of us that would call ourselves believers, that would call ourselves Christians, to say, "God, I forsake this world. I want to rededicate my life back to You." You know, I pray that pretty much every day. As a pastor, I say, "Lord, not my will be done, but Your will be done." We can all do that. We can all pray, "God, I rededicate my life to You. I want Your will in my life, not my will. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me for acting out of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, for allowing the things of this world to corrupt my mind." I'm going to ask you right now to make a choice, right where you're at. You know, I grew up in a church where we basically had an altar call almost every Sunday. We hear messages like this one, actually, and just about anything else. And we'd always come back and we'd come to the altar. Well, we don't have altars anymore, but I am going to ask you, if you want to say, "Yes, Lord, I want Your will in my life," I want you to just make a public profession right now. I'm going to ask you to stand up, close your eyes, and pray to God. Say, "God, I want Your will in my life. I recommit my life back to Jesus Christ. I no longer want to be, you know, indifferent to the things of God, dismissing sin. I want your will in my life. I want to repent from all sin. I'm going to ask you right now, stand, cry out to God and say, God, forgive me. God, I repent. God, I rededicate my life to you. I recommit my life back to you. I want to come back to my first love. Stand with me and say, yes, Lord, if you can. If you can't, that's fine. But I'm asking, if you can, say, God, I want your will to be done in my life again. Forgive me for going back to the world, for going back to the things of the world, for dismissing and making light of sin. I come back to you right now. Forgive me. Hallelujah. I'm just going to be quiet and let you pray to God for a few moments. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. The goodness of God leads us back to you. The Father's been waiting. The Father receives you right now with his arms open, holding you, embracing you, waiting. He's been waiting, but now he rejoices. Hallelujah. You've come back to him. Come back with all your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. We thank you for mercy. You've extended to us what we did not deserve. Grace and mercy and kindness. Oh Lord, we will live for you. We choose to live for you. Help us. Set us free. Set us free from whatever habits and bondages we've got ourselves back into. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We love you. We love you. We love you. Hallelujah. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil steal what you've done today. Every day, commit your life to Jesus Christ. And his mercies are renewed every single day for you. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Bless the name of the Lord. Isn't our God good? Why don't we praise him for just a moment? Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for your Spirit, for your Holy Spirit, the work done in our lives through Christ, for the work of the cross that was completed on our behalf. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. This day will be different. From this day forward, your life will be different. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm going to hand it over.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you, thank you, because you are a long-suffering God. You are patient, you are kind, and you constantly just draw us back, Father. Father, we just commit our lives to you once again. We ask that in the middle of this season and all that is going on in the world, Father, just help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to be faithful to the people and the places that you have called us to be, Father. But most importantly, Father, help us to be faithful to you, Lord Jesus. Father, we simply say that we are coming back, Father. Whatever we have made to be more important than you, Father, we lay that off to the side. And we cling back to you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys for joining us for our 9 a.m. Sunday service. For those of you guys watching online, thank you as well. As you guys know, there are many ways to give. So if you haven't given, please go ahead and do so. We definitely need your support. With that being said, you are dismissed. See you guys at the 11 a.m. Service or next week. Have a good week.